Hello and welcome to The Couch, ABC Radio National's weekly check of what's on TV and streaming. I'm Jason DeRosso, and joining me every week as she does is TV critic Wenli Ma. Hello, Wenli.
Hey, hey.
Nice couches today. I notice you've got the chaise lounge in and I'm sitting on the big Chesterfield, just opposite facing
They're
couches.
They're just basically thrones.
That's right. Let's begin by going back in time to 1987 this week. We're talking about two British shows set during the Thatcher years and a big budget American action franchise. But we'll take one of those Thatcher set shows first. This is a show about media rivals where, the stakes are high and so are the hairdos. And I reckon from next week, we actually use this trailer as our new opening theme.
The A-Team. Back together again.
Sorry I'm late, darling. I've had a terrible headache.
Rupert Campbell Black and Declan O'Hara, we are ready to knock them out of the competition.
Let's get ready for a fight.
Let's get to work.
Don't try to play chess with me. You're not clever enough.
You want to win so badly. You make yourself very easy to beat.
Now, I didn't see Rivals Season 1, but it is clear that Rivals Season 2 begins off the back of an almighty cliffhanger.
Oh, my God, you didn't see the first season.
It
is a deliciously devilry delight. Sorry, that was so much. That is a miss on your part, but I'm sure you're very inclined to go back and watch it now. It is fantastic. This is based on the Jilly Cooper books from the 1980s, which I admit I never read, and I felt very tempted after the first season. And it is set among the posh set in the countryside in England. But my goodness, it is not about tea and crumpets.
No, it is like they have distilled the essence of a 1980s television commercial for men's razors and just applied it liberally across that's 2 6-episode tranches that are releasing. And they've applied that liberally, I think. It is more upon more upon more.
Upon more and upon more upon more. The first season actually opened with the shot of a naked butt in a bathroom on the Concorde, because it's the 1980s, and they are joining the Mile High Club. And this is a Disney show. And in the second season, you get a full frontal nudity shot within the first 10 minutes. And I actually thought they left that a little bit late, considering the shenanigans that happened in the original first season. So this is David Tennant and Alex Hassel, who play these two rivals, as the title tells us, who are going head-to-head, fighting over what they call a television franchise, but I think basically it's just a license. Like, that is all by the by. It's just an excuse to put people at loggerheads with each other. I have to admit, when I came back to this, I didn't re-familiarize myself with the show. I didn't read up on it. And it took me about almost an episode to remember who was actually married to whom, because everyone is cheating on their spouses.
Well, it's a soap opera, isn't it? It's like a cross between Dallas and Dynasty and the Made in Chelsea DNA almost, don't you think?
Yes, I can totally see that. But there is just, I don't want to say the word elevated, but there is just something very enticing about it that feels a little less guilty pleasure. And just more pure pleasure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's this shot in that first episode, there's this sort of aerial shot of a guy on a motorcycle racing through the English countryside, and then his rival's black helicopter comes up in the back of shot behind him. And you're just watching this thinking, this is just so over the top in every way. But it really captures the 80s and, you know.
It is about the excess.
It's the excess and the media. Is there a Venn diagram crossover between the audience of Succession and the audience of Rivals Season 2?
Anecdotally, I would think so, because a lot of my friends watch both. So that's what I'm basing that very evidence-based response on. But it is about, you know, because the media is one of those industries, and obviously we work in it, so we're all a little bit too obsessed with it. But I think even for audiences, it's quite accessible. It's not like people, you know, going to war over paper products or something.
No.
It's glamorous.
It's glamorous, but it's soap opera, so it's very relatable. Lots of sex. Yeah,
that lots is lots of sex. Super raunchy.
Rivals Season 2. to. It's, as I said, releasing in 2 6-episode tranches from May 15 on Disney Plus. All right, speaking of second seasons, we're off to look at the second season now of the very big budget spy thriller, Citadel.
Here's all you need to know. A spy network kidnapped me and murdered nearly everyone I care about, which really pissed me off. Now, I don't know who's a threat or who isn't.
You missed one. Sad to see you getting sloppy in your old age, Bernard.
You're an idiot.
I'm going to do you a big favor. I'm going to team up with you.
How is this happening?
Citadel Season 1, I saw a bit of it, and it's the Russo brothers who were fresh from their success with the Marvel Cinematic Universe and other things. And so they brought their big budget action movie approach to the small screen here for Amazon, but it didn't really work, did it? How's Season 2?
Season 2 is actually better because I feel like they realized that some of what didn't work in Season 1. And so essentially this is a spy network that got taken down by a rival evil spy network. And there were a couple of survivors who had lost their memories and then they got their memories back. And those agents are played by Priyanka Chopra Jonas and Richard Madden. Stanley Tucci, sort of like their handler, overseer, dude who's also like a tech genius. And it's as generic as that sounds. Like, that's what I think the problem was, is because they didn't necessarily start with a story so much as they started with this ambition that they wanted to bring those kind of cinematic universe scale to streaming.
And this was Jen Salke, right, who was the executive in charge of Amazon at the time, very big on cinematic universes, and she's now no longer there. But apparently that was a sticking point with Barbara Broccoli when they were negotiating for the rights to Bond. Like, Barbara Broccoli was just like, no, the films come first.
But yeah, so this was like her little baby and she shepherded it with the Russo brothers and their production company. And so originally you had the main Citadel series and the plan was to have all these international spin-offs, which kind of feed into that narrative. There was an Indian one, there was an Italian one, and they came out about 2 years ago and have already been cancelled. So that was basically Jen Salke got shown the door and they said, we're not really interested in this as much anymore, but Season 2 of the main series was still going on. So they did reshoot the Season 2, like they had to go back in and rework a lot of it.
Hemorrhaging money.
So much money. I mean, $300 million per season were a lot of the reports. That is unsustainable even for a cinema franchise, let alone a streaming one.
Why would you? I mean, you know, there must be, the studio execs must be looking at The Pit and just going, there's TV that people love and it's done so cheaply. I mean, it doesn't make sense in this economy to spend $300 million.
I think it absolutely does not. And I think that's why Citadel, you know, started with this great idea at the time, because I think when they commissioned this, it was still, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe and all of that stuff. And now people have said, we don't really want to do homework. We don't want to have to watch 5 shows to watch 1 show.
But you rate this second season. You think it's an improvement?
I think it's an improvement. And I think part of that is because they brought in new characters and they had actors like Jack Rayner and Matt Berry come on. And they are much more charismatic than I think some of the dynamics of that original trio.
All right, Citadel Season 2, streaming on Prime Video. We're going to head back to Thatcher's Britain for the final show, and it's Thatcher's War on Drugs, set in 1990. This is called Legends, and it's about customs officials who go, undercover to try and stem the flow of, the flood of drugs arriving into Thatcher's Britain.
Your legend is the identities we use when we work undercover. Your legend has to be part of you. One wrong word, one wrong decision, then you're a goner.
The heroin crisis is a national emergency. Mrs. Thatcher needs a crisis she can solve, and here it is. You think a few customs officers can take on the biggest drug gangs in Britain?
Absolutely.
Steve Coogan, playing serious Steve Coogan.
I love serious Steve Coogan. He's great when he's serious. I think that's because I didn't really grow up on Alan Partridge. So for me, Steve Coogan is like this very diverse, you know, multi-talented dude.
He's got a spectrum. Yeah, he's playing a, this spy chief, kind of a spy chief, but it's this spy chief when we're not talking about spies, we're talking about sort of amateur sleuths who start off as customs officers. It's pretty good. What did you make of it?
I really liked it. I thought it was like gritty and grimy. It's very British, and I say that in a good way. You know, the colours are all a bit washed out. You could tell they didn't have, obviously, Citadel-level budgets. Great performances from, like, Tom Burke and Hayley Squires, and you get to see a bit of the grunt work of what it takes to actually go undercover and what it feels like, that you feel that peril because you know they haven't had 10 years of training from some elite academy, that they were people checking suitcases at the airport.
Yeah, and all the clichés of the kind of undercover story, suspense story are there. Like there's, you know, people potentially falling in love in the field. There's, you know, people who become so obsessed with their undercover aliases that perhaps they go over to the dark side. All of that signaled early in the first season, first episode of this season. It reminded me a bit of Slow Horses, but from what I can see, Slow Horses kind of tried to lean in to be this thing with action sequences and stuff a bit more than this does. This is a bit more character-based.
Yeah, there's more character-based. This is more patient. I think tonally they are different, even though they have that similar DNA strand running through them.
What, and how would you say they're different?
Slow Horses, I think, is a little bit looser, a little bit more sarcastic, and this feels a little more grounded.
But yeah, it's good.
It's good. And considering there are there are definitely at least two rival story strands, they keep it pretty straight. Like, I was able to follow it without thinking, oh, wait, does that scene call back to something else? No, very solid drama.
Solid. Yeah, I agree. From what I've seen of it, you've seen more, but yeah, okay. So you'd recommend both British shows, Legends, which is streaming over at Netflix, by the way, and Rivals season 2, which is, to remind you, over on Disney Plus. Not so keen on Citadel, but season 2 is better than season 1.
Season 2 is better, but I still don't love it.
Okay, and you can see Citadel over at Prime Video. Time to go. This has been ABC Radio National's The Couch, your weekly small screen guide. We'll be back again soon. I'm Jason DeRosso.
I'm Wenli Ma.
Bye.
Bye-bye.